Guru Sri Rajneesh talks from Greece. Socrates poisoned again after 25 centuries. Discourse number 17 on the 27th of February, 1986, p.m.
When I leave your discourses, I feel tremendously good and bright, but still, I'm afraid to get influenced again by people outside, so that I fall back again into my old mind. Can you say something about energy and experiences, and how we can live in the marketplace without getting influenced by other people who have not such good energy?
Basic thing to remember is when you are feeling good, in a mood of ecstasy, don't start thinking that it is going to be your permanent state. Live the moment as joyfully, as cheerfully as possible, knowing perfectly well it has come and it will go. Just like a breeze comes in your house with all its fragrance and freshness and goes out from the other door. This is the most fundamental thing, because if you start thinking in terms of making your ecstatic moment permanent, you have already started destroying them. When they come, be grateful. When they leave, be thankful towards them. Remain open. It will happen many times. Don't be judgmental. Don't be a chooser. Remain priceless. Yes, there will be moments when you will be miserable. So what? There are people who are miserable and who have not even known a single moment of success. You are fortunate. Even in your misery, remember that it is not going to be permanent. It will also pass away. So don't get too much disturbed by it. Remain at ease. Just like day and night, there are moments of joy and there are moments of sadness. Accept them as part of the duality of nature, as the very way things are. And you are simply a watcher, neither you become happiness nor you become misery. Happiness comes and goes, misery comes and goes. One thing remains always there, always and always, and that is the watcher, one who witnesses. Slowly, slowly get more and more centered into the watcher. Days will come and nights will come, life will come and deaths will come. Success will come, failure will come. But if you are centered in the watcher, because that is the only reality in you, everything is a passing phenomenon. Just for a moment, try to feel what I am saying. Just be a watcher. Do not cling to any moment because it is beautiful, and do not push any moment because it is miserable. Stop doing that, that you have been doing for life, and you have not been successful yet, and you will never be successful ever. The only way to go beyond is to remain beyond, is to find a place from where you can watch all these changing phenomena without getting identified. I will tell you an ancient Sufi story. A king asked his wise men in the court, that I am making a very beautiful ring for myself. I have got one of the best diamonds possible. I want to keep hidden inside the ring some message that may be helpful to me in a time of utter despair. It has to be very small, so that it can be hidden underneath the diamond in the ring. They all were wise men, they all were great scholars, they could have written great treatises, but to give him a message of not more than 2-3 words, which will help him in moments of utter despair, they thought, they looked into their books, but they could not find anything. The king had an old servant who was almost like his father. He was his father's servant. The king's mother had died early, and this servant has taken care of him. So he was not treated like a servant. The king has immense respect for him. The old man said, I am not a wise man, knowledgeable, a scholarly, but I know the message. Because there is only one message. And these people cannot give it to you. It can be given only by a mystic, by a man who has realized himself. In my long life in the palace, I have come across all kinds of people, and once a mystic has also been a guest to your father. And I was put into his service. When he was departing, as a gesture of thankfulness of all my services, he gave me this message. And he wrote it on a small piece of paper, folded it and told the king, don't read it, just keep it hidden in the ring. Only open it when everything else has failed, when there is no way out. And the time came soon. the country was invaded and the king lost his kingdom. And he was running on his horse just to save his life. And the enemy horses were following him. He was alone, there were many. And he comes to a place where the path is stopped, comes to a dead end. There is a cliff and a deep valley. To fall into it is to be finished. He cannot go back. The enemy is there, he can hear the sounds of the hoofs of the horses. He cannot go forward, and there is no other way. Suddenly he remembered the ring. He opened it, took out the paper, and there was a small message of tremendous value. It simply said, "This too will pass." A great silence came over him as he read the sentence, "This too will pass." And it passed. Everything passes away. Nothing remains in this world. The enemy who were following him must have got lost in the forest, must have moved on a wrong way. The hoofs is slowly were not heard anymore. The king was immensely grateful to the servant and to the unknown mystic. Those words proved miraculous. He folded the paper, put it back into the ring, gathered his armies again, conquered his kingdom back, and the day he was entering his capital, victorious, there was great celebration all over the capital. Music, dance, and he was feeling very proud of himself. The old man was walking by the side of his chariot. He said, "This time is also right to look again into the message." The king said, "What do you mean? Now I am victorious. People are celebrating. I am not in a despair. I am not in a situation where there is no way out." The old man said, "Listen, this is what the saint has said to me, that this message is not only for despair, it is also for pleasure. This is not when you are defeated. It is also for when you are victorious. It is not only when you are the last, but also when you are the first and the king opened the ring, read the message, this too will pass. And suddenly the same peace, same silence, amidst the crowds jubilating, celebrating, dancing, but the pride, the ego was gone. Everything passes away. He asked his old servant to come on the chariot and sit with him. He asked, is there anything more? Everything passes away. Your message has been immensely helpful. The old man said the third thing the saint has said, that remember, everything passes, only you remain. You remain forever as a witness. So this is the answer to your question. Everything passes, but you remain. You are the reality. Everything is just a dream. Beautiful dreams are there, nightmares are there, but it does not matter whether it is a beautiful dream or a nightmare. What matters is the one who is seeing the dream. That seer is the only reality. In the East, we don't have anything like philosophy. Its scholars had translated the Eastern word darshan, which means seeing, into philosophy, finding no other way. But they are not at all connected. Philosophy is thinking, not seeing. A blind man can think about light, but cannot see it. And a man with eyes can see the light, there is no need to think about it. In the East, there is nothing comparable to philosophy. In the West, there is nothing comparable to darshan. I have coined my own word to translate darshan, philosophia. Philo means love, and sia means to see. Sophi means thinking. Sia means seeing. And the whole East for centuries has been working only in one dimension, how to find the seer. You cannot go beyond it. That is the ultimate. Everything is in front of it. It is behind the whole reality. And everything goes on changing. You are child, you will become young, you will become old. You are alive, you will be dead. Everything goes on changing, but the seer is something absolutely eternal. Just a little glimpse of it, and all your problems will start disappearing. Because a totally new perspective will arise, a new vision, a new way of life, a new way of seeing at things, seeing at people, responding to situations. And the seer is always present 24 hours. Whatever you are doing or not doing, it is there. It has been there for centuries, for eternity, waiting for you to take note of it. Perhaps because it has been always there, that's why you have forgotten it. The obvious is always forgotten. Remember it. When you are feeling a well-being, an euphoria, remember it. When you are in misery, in anguish, remember it. In all climates, in all moods, go on remembering it. Soon you will be able to remain centered in it. There will be no need to remember. And that is the greatest day in one's life. That day you become enlightened. That day you become awakened. That day Lorda changes into a Buddha.
Beloved Bhagavan, in my exploration before taking sannyas, I was initiated into the four meditation techniques of Guru Maharaji. I had a very beautiful experience with one of the techniques during the initiation session, and still find the technique simple and fascinating. However, there is much conflict in me about using these techniques since I have become a sannyasin, and I never fell in love with Guru Maharaji like I fell in love with you. Can you please give some guidance about whether or not it is okay for me to continue practicing the technique while being a sannyasin? or should I drop them? Also, I would love to hear what you have to say about grieving with my hierarchy.
There is no problem. If you feel good with any technique, you can continue it. From where it comes does not matter. Who has given it to you does not matter. It gives you pleasant feeling, a certain silence, serenity. Continue it. Doing my sannyasin does not mean that I monopolize you. Being my sannyasin means now the whole world is yours. Enjoy everything that you feel good for yourself. But remember what I just was talking about. A pleasant feeling is not real meditation, because that too will pass away. It is only a technique. I want to give you something that does not pass away. Meanwhile, you can play with all kinds of toys, there is no harm. And you are asking about Guru Maharaj. First, I will tell you a small story. Perhaps that explains to you Guru Maharaj. It is a Tibetan story. A man who became later on very famous as a saint was searching for truth, came across a so-called master who had a great following. His only teaching was surrender to me, and surrender totally. And I will take you to the ultimate state of consciousness. Don't be worried. At the right time, the explosion will happen. It has not happened to anyone. But in the East, one life is not enough. to realize oneself. Thousands of lives it takes to find the right moment, the right time when the explosion happens. So nobody can complain that I have been waiting for 30 years and it has not happened. 30 years or 30 lives don't count. But this man really totally surrenders. And the second day, the disciples were amazed because he was walking on water. They could not believe their eyes. They asked the man, "What is the secret?" He said, "You must be knowing it because you have been with the Master so long." "I surrender totally. I trust him. I just take his name and leave everything to him. And anything becomes possible. I can pass through fire, I can walk on water, I can jump from high mountains. You look surprised," he said. "In fact, I should be surprised that you have been for years here with a great master." They rushed to the master. They said, "This man is a sin. He is walking on water. And he says, it is the power of your name. He simply takes your name and he can do anything." And the master himself was surprised. But he did not show his surprise to the disciples. He said, "That's what you should all be doing. If your surrender is total, my name can take you to ultimate liberation." But deep down he was thinking that when everybody is gone, he is going to try his own name and walk on water. Because if that other guy, just in one day, is doing such a miracle, then what miracles I cannot do. I was not aware. So he took his name, walked into water, and he started drowning. By difficulty he was saved. And his disciples said, "What happened?" He said, "Call that strange man. Let me see how he walked, because I cannot walk taking my own name. How he can?" And the man came, he walked on water. The master said, "You jump from the mountain 1,000 feet deep into the valley." He jumped. They had to walk down for hours to reach. They were thinking they are not going to find a single bone unfractured. The man must be splattered all over the place. But he was sitting in a lotus posture under a tree, looking so beautiful. And he said, "Great Master, your name is such a miracle. The Master has to fall into his feet and said, 'Forgive me, I am not a master at all. I am just a charlatan. I have been cheating people, exploiting people. But I cannot exploit you. Your trust prohibits me. People like Guru Maharaj Ji belong to the same category of that master. If they take their name, they will start drowning in the water. The technique that they have given to you, which is giving you a certain peace and silence, has not given themselves any peace, any silence. I know the man. I used to know his father. His father was also doing the same thing, pretending to be a mystic. And he trained this boy, Guru Maharaj Ji, who was just 6 years old at that time, to memorize few scriptures. And that became a great attraction. He will recite in pure Sanskrit his scriptures, and his father used to say that in his past life he was a great master. He still remembers these things from his past life. And I know this was not right, because the master, the father of Guru Maharaj Ji, was not at ease with his wife, just as nobody is at ease. I asked the wife, she said, "He is a cheat, and now he is training his children to be cheats." He has spoiled this boy, now he is spoiling the other boy. And just because he was 6 years, 7 years old, thousands of people will come to listen, believing that it is the memory of his past life. The father died, and he pronounced this boy, Guru Maharaj Ji, that he will be my successor. He became world famous. And just because he was 6 years, 7 years old, thousands of people will come to listen, believing that it is the memory of his past life. the father died and he pronounced this boy Guru Maharaj ji that he will be my successor. He became world famous. But he was only 16 when he became world famous. And a boy of 16 naturally fell in love with a girl. I don't see any objection in it. But his mother, who has always been against the father that he is spoiling the children, was now doing the same because those children proved to be great business. She was very much angry because in India, if a man has some spirituality, then he has to be celibate. And he falls in love with an American girl. Not only that, he gets married. He was not of the age to get married. The girl was 21 years old, he was 16 years old. He had to appear before a court to get the permission of the judge that he is mature enough. And the judge said, there is no question about your maturity, you are world famous. You can get married. This marriage created trouble. The mother renounced the boy and renounced that he is the successor of his father. The second boy is the real successor. So now the empire is divided into two. The smaller boy and the mother. In the east, and Guru Maharaj ji in America, when he went to India, the followers of his own brother and mother threw stones, protested against him. And he had to leave India because of his own mother and his own brother. They will not allow him to stay there. And the same behavior he is doing with his mother and his brother when they come to America. These people are simply business people. Religion to them is nothing but business. But this has been for centuries so. Exploit the innocent, exploit the ignorant, exploit the miserable, exploit people who are in suffering and anguish and anxiety. I have no problem If you can walk on water with the name of Guru Maharaj ji, you can do it. You should not feel any conflict. Because I don't have any conflict with anybody. Your question may be important for other people also. Because many of other people may have learned something from some other sources. There is no need to be worried. Sometimes it happens the source may be wrong, but what you have got is right. The master may be fake, but he has got some techniques handed over to him by heritage which are significant. But remember, every technique can only give you an experience, and I want to give you the experiencer, not the experience. Experience comes and goes. Don't rely on it. Unless you have found the experiencer, who is feeling joy, who is feeling pain, who is feeling well-being, who is feeling sad, who is this consciousness? Every effort should be to reach to this innermost center of the cyclone. Your whole life is a cyclone of change, of changing scenes, changing colors. But just in the middle of the cyclone, there is a silent center. That is you. My effort is to help you to find yourself.
I always feel that I find the wrong lover. Always something doesn't fit well, and I feel frustrated. Please, I need your message.
This is the problem everybody is facing. It's not today, tomorrow. Something is always missing. Something seems to be wrong. Something is not fitting. All lovers throughout the history have the same problem. One has to go really deep into it, because it is not one man's problem or one woman's problem. In the first place, we are all being living life according to fiction, poetry, film stories. That has given humanity a wrong impression. The impression that when there is love, everything will fit. That there will be no conflict. For centuries, poets have been given the idea that lovers are made for each other. Nobody is made for anybody else. Everybody is different from everybody else. You may love a person without knowing that you love the person only because there is so much difference between you two. So much distance. The distance is a challenge. The distance is an adventure. The distance makes the woman or the man worth getting hold of. But things as they appear from distance are not the same when they come close. When you are just courting a man or a woman, everything is beautiful. Everything fits. Because both want that everything should fit. Anything that does not fit is not allowed to surface. It is repressed in the unconscious. So lovers sitting on the beach, looking at the moon, do not know each other at all. Almost the marriage is finished before the honeymoon is finished. It is good that in the East there is nothing like honeymoon. They don't give the chance for the marriage to be finished so soon. In the East, people go on living together and never feel the way you are feeling, that things are not fitting, something is missing. there is no chance at all. Husbands and wives do not choose themselves. Marriages are organized by the parents, by the astrologers, by all kinds of people except those two who are going to be married. They cannot see each other in the daylight. They can meet only each other deep in the darkness of the night, and that too families are big. They can talk only in whispers. Fighting is out of question. Throwing pillows will not work. No woman, no man in the East knows that pillows have to be thrown. Otherwise, what kind of love affair you are having? That plates have to be broken. Then that on each and everything argument, you say one thing and the woman understands something else. She says something, you understand something else. There seems to be no communication. And it starts with the honeymoon. Because there, for the first time, you are 24 hours together. No, you cannot pretend. You have to be real. You cannot act. One of my friends was saying that he went to see a movie with his wife, and he saw in the movie the actor, the hero, is kissing his beloved with so much joy. It's such ecstasy that the wife told my friend, "Look, you never kiss me like that." And my friend said, "Darling, that is acting." I can also act, but to be 24 hours with you and still kiss you with so much ecstasy, I'm not that mad. The woman said, "You don't understand me at all. Here they are acting, but the woman in real life is his wife too." My friend said, "My God, then he must be a real actor." I have heard one honeymoon couple comes to the beach to remain in a hotel for a few days. But there seems to be some difficulty as they close the room. The husband says, first put the light off before you go to the bathroom. The woman said, why? The man said, I don't like light. You just put the lights off. Then you go to the bathroom, change your dress, come back. But she said, I cannot come in darkness. It is an unknown room. I may stumble on some furniture or something that I cannot do. The man said, this seems to be a difficulty. You will have to do. The woman said, I don't understand the stubbornness. Just for 5 minutes, you cannot remain in light. You can close your eyes. The man said, it is better to tell you the truth, because sooner or later I will have to tell you the truth. That one of my legs is artificial. And I don't want you to see. So I wanted to put it in darkness down the bag. The woman said, that's good that you told. If you are so honest, I should be honest too. Now there is no need for me to go into the bathroom. I was going just to remove because both of my breasts are false. Now, what do you think? Has anything remained or everything is finished? When you live together, you have to be real to the other person. You cannot hide. You cannot have any secrets. And we have been given the idea from the very childhood that between wife and husband there is always harmony. Everything is always fitting. They are always together, always loving, no fight. That whole ideology is the problem. I would like to tell you the truth. The truth is that both the persons, whoever they are different individuals. And if you love somebody, you have to understand it, that you are going to love somebody who is not your shadow, who is not your reflection in the mirror, who has his own individuality. Unless you have a bigger heart to accommodate
somebody who is different than you, who may have different ideas about different things. You should not get into unnecessary trouble. It is better to become a monk or a nun. Why bother? Why create hell for yourself and others? But the hell is created because you expect heaven. I am telling you, accept that this is the situation. The person is going to be different. You are not the master. Neither the other is the master. Both are simply partners who have decided, in spite of all differences, to be together. And in fact, differences add a spice to your love. If you can find a woman who is just like you, you will not find much attraction in her. The woman has to be different, distinct, a mystery that invites you to explore. And the same is true about the man. But two mysteries meeting together, once they drop the idea that they have to agree on everything, there is no question of any fight. Fight arises because you want agreement. If you are living just like two friends, she has her own ideas, you have your own ideas. She respects your ideas, you respect her ideas. She has her way, you have your own way. Nobody is trying to impose and indoctrinate the other. Then there is no question of fight. And then there is no question that things are not fitting. Why they should be fitting? That something is missing. Nothing is missing. Just your idea of harmony is not there. And harmony is not something very great. It is boring. Once in a while, even if you fight, once in a while, even if you get really hot, that does not mean that love disappears. That simply means love is capable of absorbing even disagreements, fights, overcoming all these hindrances. Just the old kind of ideology of man and husband
I am reminded that the old biblical story, first God had made one man and one woman, which is not very much told because it is very dangerous. But as you know, looking at the world, God does not seem to be very intelligent. Here nothing is fitting. In the very beginning you can see it. He made man and woman, two persons, and gave them a small bed, not a double bed. And the very first night in the beginning of the world was the night of tremendous fight, because the woman wanted to sleep on the bed and the man wanted that he should sleep on the bed and she should sleep on the floor. The whole night went into fighting, beating each other, throwing things, and in the morning the man said, I had asked you to give me a companion, but I had not asked you to give me an enemy. If you think this is a companion, I was better alone. I don't want this woman. There is never going to be peace between me and her. Now the simple thing was to ask for a double bed. I don't understand what kind of God is there and what these idiots are asking. The simple question was a double bed. Are two single beds. If things were getting too bad, then two single beds. But instead of that, he asked that I don't want this woman. He is trying to be equal to me. The male chauvinist idea arose that very night. And God dismantled the woman. Naturally, because God is also a male chauvinist. He dismantled the woman just the way you dismantle any mechanism. He finished the woman. And he said, now I will make another woman which will be lower than you and will never ask for equality. Then he made the second woman, which is Eve, by taking one of the ribs from Adam and out of the rib making the woman, so that she cannot ask for equality. She is nothing but a rib. But you cannot manage things like this. Just a little intelligence would have been enough. And this way things have not changed. It is said that every night when Adam will come back home and will go to his sleep, Eve will count his ribs.
The true language of praise, if he loses any other rib, that means another woman is also somewhere around. There is no need for more than friendship. Love has to be a friendly affair in which nobody is superior, in which nobody is going to decide about things, in which both are fully aware that they are different, that their approach towards life is different, that they think differently, and still, with all these differences, they love each other, then you will not find any problems. Problems are created by us. Don't try to create something superhuman. Be human and accept the other person's humanity with all the frailty humanity is prone to. She will commit mistakes just as you commit mistakes. And you have to learn to be together. Is a great learning, a forgiving, a forgetting, of understanding that the other is as human as you are. Just a little forgiveness . There is an old proverb, to err is human, and to forgive is divine. I don't agree. To err is human, and to forgive is also human. To forgive is divine, then you are raising it too high, beyond human reach. Bring it within human reach and learn to forgive and learn to enjoy forgiveness. Learn to ask apology. You don't lose anything when you can say to your woman, I am sorry, I was wrong. But no man wants to say that I was wrong. He is always right. No woman wants to say that she was wrong. She is always right. Man tries to prove through arguments that he is right. The woman tries through emotions that she is right. Screaming, crying, weeping, tears, and she wins. Because the man becomes afraid of the neighbor. And just to cool down her, because children may wake up, that's cool down. Perhaps you are right. But deep down he still believes he is right. To be understanding means that you can be wrong. The woman may be right. It is not a guarantee that just by being men you have the power and authority to be right. Neither the woman has that. If we were just a little more human and little more friendly, and we could say to each other that we are sorry, and what are the things you are fighting for? So small, so trivial. But if somebody asks you, you will feel embarrassed. Just drop the idea that everything has to fit. Drop the idea that there is going to be total harmony, because those are not good things. If everything fits, you will get bored with each other. If everything is harmonious, you will lose the whole juice of relationship. Drop the idea that there is going to be total harmony, because those are not good things. If everything fits, you will get bored with each other. If everything is harmonious, you will lose the whole juice of relationship. It is good that things don't fit. It is good that there is always a gap. So there is always something to explore, something to cross over, some bridge to be made. The whole life can be a tremendous exploration of each other if we accept the differences, the basic uniqueness of each individual, and we don't make love a kind of energy but a friendship. Try friendship, try friendliness, and remember always that there is nothing that is going to disturb you. When you see a beautiful woman, you feel attracted. You should understand that when your wife sees a beautiful man, she must be feeling attracted. If you are understanding, you both will discuss lovingly that what a beautiful woman was she, and what a beautiful man was he. But right now the situation is, you can stay from miles away whether the couple that is coming is married or unmarried. The married couple The husband lives very cautiously and very carefully, does not look here and there. As if he has got some neck problem. And the wife is watching where he's looking, what he's looking, and taking note of everything. This is ugly. I was traveling, I was going to Kashmir, and in my compartment there was one beautiful woman. And her husband was coming on every station with ice cream, with bananas, with apples. And in Kashmir, fruits are really juicy. I asked the woman, "How long you have been married?" She said, 7 years. I said, "Don't lie to me." She said, "What do you mean?" "Why should I lie to you?" I said, "After 7 years, the husband is not going to come on every station with all these things. He is not your husband." She said, "How you came to know?" I said, "How I came to know? I can see it. If he was your husband, once he had dropped you in this compartment, then in the last station, if you are fortunate, he will come back, otherwise he will escape. Why should come on every station with all these things?" He said, "It's strange, but you are right. He is not my husband. He is my friend's husband. But he loves me." And what you are saying about husband is true. That has happened between me and my husband. We live together, but we are miles apart. I am thinking to divorce him. I said, "Don't do that. Go on living with him and go on loving this man. And don't let this man divorce his wife. He will be loving somebody else. Don't be worried." Existence takes care of him. But if you divorce your husband and you get married to this man, you will not get these ice creams and these fruits and this attention and this love. All will disappear. If you are just friendly and don't make your friendliness a legal affair of husband and wife, things will be far better, because you are not a burden to anybody, not a bondage to anybody. There is no question of sitting with each other. You can have your individuality totally free from each other and yet to be in love, and really to be totally different in individuality creates the best possibility of love.
spoken with.
Thank you.